Today we begin our series of conversations that is all about inspired action. So the first thing we want to do, of course, is to define our terms, as it were. And the first thing we'll say is that inspired action is the action that you take quite literally because you are inspired to do so. And that seems easy enough. We would also suggest that inspired action be the only action you ever take. We know that is not going to be the case, but it is our suggestion. The only reason why it is necessary to even have a conversation about inspired action is because the inspiration that arises comes in the moment of the doing. You, however, have likely trained yourself, been trained by others, and have yourself trained others to be strategic or tactical in the ways in which you approach whatever action it is that you take. That's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we really do want to point out that you have something available to you that is so much easier and so much simpler and so much more direct and immediate and obvious. And that is you have your ability to decide where you're going to go and what you're going to do next, which is literally the most powerful decision you can ever make. We recommend that the decision you make is to go and do whatever it is that feels better in the going or the doing. So usually when we talk about intuition, which of course is what inspired action is about, is it's intuited inspired action. Usually when we talk about these things, one of the things that we discuss is how you have the ability to know what the right thought is, what the right words are, and what the right thing to do is. And that you have this ability, it's intrinsic. It is not a learned skill. It is something you came with. It is actually how manifesting reality is, in fact, manifesting, for one thing. And also, it is how your non-physical shows up in the middle of your physical. Because as a non-physical being of light, if you go to sleep, or if you go to dream, or you go to daydream, or you just go somewhere away from your physicality, you'll notice that you have this flow of energy that just is obvious, and it is intrinsic, and it just happens. When you're dreaming, it's very clear. You can impose in a so-called nighttime dream, you can impose your will and you can bring the developed parts of your personality sort of to play in the dream, and it can be a lot of fun. But mostly what happens in a dream is not so much the unfolding of a story that you're just the observer of, but your active participation in it. Now, a lucid dream is what we're talking about when you bring your will of personality, you bring that into the story. And you begin to sort of organize things in the dream state as though they were physically oriented. It can be a lot of fun. It is not going to last very long, and it has only a limited purpose. And we don't say that because there's some sort of rule about this. We say that because the truth is you're always in the flow of who you are, no matter how you use your will or how you use your personality, whether you leave it at the doorstep when you come into the dream or whether you bring it with you. It doesn't matter. You can do anything, go anywhere, have whatever you wish to have. But in drawing the distinction between sort of action that is taken for the sake of action, which is what most of you are doing most of the time, and inspired action, and then we could also say default action, just the things that you think you're supposed to do because you've always done them. That would be really more accurately described as usual action or sort of accustomed action. But inspired action, which is always going to be brand new and always going to be immediate and always going to be the thing you do in the moment of the doing of it, and will also always have the proof of its pudding right there immediate. And so when we've talked about using your intuition as a practice, we've said if you're willing to look foolish, you will immediately have access to your intuition without hesitation, and it will become a very easy and obvious thing. If you are trying to look like a person who is smart, which means you're going to be tactical or strategic, or you're going to apply forethought, you're going to likely get bound up into that. Now, sometimes that works out really well, but sometimes it doesn't. And in fact, it isn't really a guarantee of anything. The only guarantee you have is what is in the present moment. And what you have in the present moment is the guarantee that the next thing that feels better will in fact feel better. And that's the entire point. Strategic or tactical approaches to action in particular are really about trying to make sure you get the result that you desire based on the action you're taking now or in the foreseeable future. But that's part of the dilemma. There is no such thing as a foreseeable future. You can, of course, strategically plot out what you think will happen based upon what has happened before. And you may be right, but then again, you may not. But the entire process or the entire proposition of looking at the future as though it can be tracked or plotted or schemed or handled or managed in any way, shape, or form is, from our perspective, rather silly because there is no future. You're only ever in the present moment. You never arrive into this future. You can develop the ability, and all of you have it quite powerfully, to look at the past and the future and weave together a tale of how things worked and how things will work. And again, you may very well be accurate, at least up to a point. But if you really want the joy, the delight, the magic, the power that you have available to you immediately that is far, far, far wider, broader, and deeper than anything you can bring to the table by strategically or tactically planning in advance how you're going to do something, all of that is found here in the present moment. What we're really inviting you to do here is to take the action that feels better to take right now, whatever it is. Sometimes it's a little confusing because sometimes when you're looking at something through a very narrow lens and you're thinking, what should I do about this? The answer is nothing. But actually, there's not a voice that's going to say to you nothing. Although perhaps it will, but likely not. You just will hear nothing in reply. There are other times when it's going to be very obvious. Go here, do this. As in, step forward in that direction, or pick this up, or carry this, or say this thing. And it will be very obvious indeed. And of course, throughout this series of conversations, we'll be talking about how that obviousness arises. And of course, we'll look forward to your questions about this obviousness and what you do or don't think might actually be the thing that needs to be done in any particular situation. And we invite you to bring your very specific questions that you have about things you have done or might do. We also will be talking about how inspired action will not solve any of your problems, but that's simply because you don't have any problems. But again, we also will remind you what we say in the introduction to this particular series, what has been written about it, but what we've said many, many times. The only action we would ever take is inspired action because we really don't see the point of anything else. Now, that's our opinion sitting on our pink cloud, and we very well understand that you very well may have some very clear ideas about strategy or tactics that you are intending to use, and you're going to use it, goddammit, and it doesn't matter what some stupid ghost says, and that's perfectly fine. But we really do want to remind you that everything that you get sort of tied into or wrapped around can be easily unraveled by just doing the next thing that feels better. And that's really what this comes down to. Inspired action is doing what feels better in the doing of it. And the proof of its pudding is tasted in the moment of the doing. That's why we say, if you are willing to look a fool, you will have no trouble. No trouble whatsoever. You don't have any trouble anyway. But all of that stress and strain that comes from trying to make sure you look right and get it right and do it right disappears. But then something else takes its place. It's not so much that now you're willing to be a fool, so you're dancing around naked in the middle of the square. That's not what we mean. What we mean is you will suddenly discover how well ordered things get, or how perfectly plotted things appear to be, or how incredibly, astonishingly synchronistic your life becomes. Because you're no longer trying to do something right, you're doing what feels better in the doing, and you're going to discover that, as we could say, the downstream flow is where everything is. That's where all of your magic and power is. And the downstream flow, of course, feels better. The final thing we'll say here for our first opening conversation is this. The whole point of this is that it feels better to feel better. There's not anything you need to do. You have no imperative. You have no requirement. You have no obligation for anything for any reason ever. But you do have options, and you do have things you do want to do that feel better in the doing. And those are the things we would recommend you do. And we don't mean tomorrow or later on today or later this morning or at some point in 10 or 15 minutes. We mean literally right at this red hot minute. Ask the questions that feel better in the asking, or ask the questions you want to ask and find out if they feel better in the asking. You have spent an awful lot of time in your life testing out how things work. It seems to us that there's no reason why you can't do the same thing with what feels better. If you're willing to fail, if you're willing to fall over on your face, if you're willing to look a fool, this becomes very, very simple and very easy indeed. If you feel like you have to prove something, you're going to get bound up by that and wrapped around it. If you feel like something needs to be proved to you, you'll run into the same issue, and you'll run into it pretty quickly. Because as we like to say, for all of you listening and participating in this conversation, lots of rivers have flown under your bridge, and a lot of things have happened that are very much happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. So instead of looking at this as being this thing you're going to learn how to do, we would also recommend that you recognize you're going to remember how to do it. You already know how to do this. The things that work out very, very well for you, where there really is not enough contrast to even look at them, are things that you are likely taking inspired action on all the time. Standing, sitting, walking, talking, you'll find inspired action in play there, all over the place. You have, in other words, what you're wanting. The places where you get wrapped around the axle or where your things get a little confused are where you are trying really hard to get it right. So, as we bring this to a close, the thing that we want to invite you to do is to pay attention to the fact that you can feel better right now and that your inspired action is part of that. In fact, the proof of inspired action being right for you is the fact that it feels better in the doing, not in the proposition of doing, not in the having done, but in the doing itself. This is not difficult and it's not hard. It may be different. It may be unusual. It may be a head scratcher, but you've learned how to do lots and lots and lots of things in your life. And we do recommend you sort of train yourself in this direction, which is not difficult because, again, it feels better to feel better. And that's what will be happening here. You're definitely in the right place at the right time, as we like to say over and over again, as wonderful and as delicious and as amazing and as astonishing as all of this is and has been and will be, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.